Happy Sabbath.
It's good to see you all this morning. Glad you all made it out this morning. Can you hear it? Working?
No. There we go. We're working now. Good to see you all this morning. Glad you're all here. Hope you've been blessed so far. I hope you've been blessed over the past few weeks as we've been going through this relationship seminar. Did any of you get a chance to go to a small group and study the material from last week a little deeper over the past week? Good, I see some of you did. And if you didn't get a chance to, invite you to join a small group this coming week as we continue to dive in. And if you've missed any of the topics in this relationship series where we've been talking about being connected in our relationships, I encourage you to just go to the website, the ModestoSDA.org website, and click on podcasts and download the different ones that you might have missed. But it's been a huge blessing to me so far. Today, I'm going to be talking about blood brothers. I'm going to be simply sharing a bit of my testimony, a bit of my recent testimony. You know, there's that initial conversion experience in your life. But I'm beginning to learn that that's just the beginning of our conversion. I'm learning that God wants to keep converting me, that he wants to keep changing me, that he's got a whole lot more in store for me. And so over the past couple years, God has changed my life through what I'm going to share about this morning. And my prayer is that he can make a difference in your life through that. And I want to, just as I begin, say another quick prayer and invite you to, as I pray, ask God to speak to your heart. Open your heart up to God and invite him to make a difference in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. You are our all in all. That you have gone the distance for us. Thank you that you are wanting to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, may nothing get in the way of that. May you work in our hearts in a special way. And may we walk out of the doors of this church transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. I pray this because of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just a few years ago, it was the fall of 2010, I walked into the doors of my first class at the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary in Andrews, Michigan. Berrien Springs, it's a place that gets very cold in the winter, unlike here, even though we may feel like we get pretty cold here. It gets really cold there. I didn't know what I was getting into, honestly, going to take my first master's level class. I didn't know what it was going to be like. What was the teacher going to be like? What was he going to expect? I walked into that classroom, and the class was on biblical spirituality. I thought, okay, this is cool. We're going to go through the Bible. We're going to look at different characters in the Bible. Maybe we're going to learn a little bit more about having a relationship with God. But as the teacher began to explain what this class was going to be all about, he began to explain to us that this was going to be a class where we actually put into practice seeking Jesus with all of our hearts. That we were going to practically try different ways of experiencing God, of doing different things in our devotional life, of prayer journaling and all different kinds of things. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I thought I came here, you know, to learn a bunch of facts and learn a bunch of knowledge, but, you know, this sounds like it's going to be a good class. This is going to be a good experience. I'm going to get to know Jesus better during this class. Nothing better than that, right? Well, as I was sitting there in the class, I don't remember if it was the first or the second week, he began to tell us about something that he does everywhere that he goes. Now, this professor had been a pastor and minister down in Australia. He'd worked as a union president in the denomination, and he'd done a lot of different things in leadership, but he says that everywhere he moved, everywhere he would go, he would get one person who he would, as he called it, make his spiritual companion, his spiritual friend. And he would ask this person, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to meet with me once a week. We'll go on a walk or we'll just talk. And I want you to ask me these specific questions. And some of the questions that he would have this person ask him are, one of the questions would be like, well, how's it been going with your devotional life with Jesus this past week? How have things been going? And he said he would have the person just listen to him as he talked about, well, this past week, you know, here's what I've been reading, here's the things that I've been learning about Jesus, here's how Jesus has been speaking to me. And then he said he'd have him ask a question like, well, how have you sensed that you've drawn closer to God over the past week? Or how have you experienced God in a new way? How did you feel God's presence throughout this last week? Then ask a question like, well, how over the past week did you notice God's absence? Or did you ever feel separated from God? Did you ever feel like God just wasn't there for you? He'd ask him, did you have any answers to prayer over this last week? And then at the end, he would ask, well, what are you seeking from God over this coming week? And he said that he would meet with this person week after week, and he still does this. And he said, now here's the thing. He said, as part of this class, this is something that you are going to do. And I thought, oh, okay, interesting. Sounds a little awkward. You're going to have me go and like talk about, this is kind of personal stuff. This is my devotional life and these different things. Well, it was convenient because I went to the seminary at the same time as Godfrey Miranda. Does anybody know Pastor Godfrey? He's pastoring up at Parkwood. And we had already worked together for a few years. We were good friends already. And we were sitting next to each other in this class. And I looked over and I was like, I hope he wants me to be a spiritual companion because that might make it a little less awkward. And thankfully, he looked over and he's like, hey, why don't we be spiritual companions? And so we started off on a journey that has changed my life. I can honestly say that today. We began to meet week after week, and we would ask those simple questions that he asked us to ask, and we were supposed to journal about what our responses were. It was a part of class, and yet it was making a real difference in my heart. Week after week, as he would ask me things like, well, how was your devotional life over the past week? I would actually take the time to think about what I'd been doing over the past week, the things that I'd been reading, the time that I'd spent in prayer. And I realized that there were areas in which I could really grow. Even though I'd been in ministry, I'd been doing ministry already, I'd been reading my Bible every day for probably 5 years, I realized, wow, there's a lot that I'm missing out on. And I found as I went through the week, I'd be thinking in my mind, oh, next week, Godfrey's going to ask me how it's been going over the past week. I'm going to make sure that I spend some good time with God today so that next week I have something to share with him, something that God has done for me. It went like this week on and week out. And we got to the end of the semester, and I figured, well, you know, maybe we'll end here. But God was doing something special in our lives. In fact, as we neared the end of that semester, I remember Leah saying something to me. She said, Zach, you've changed. I said, I've changed? What do you mean? And maybe that's not always a good thing when your spouse says that to you. But in this case, she said it was a very good thing. She said that God was changing me to be a lot nicer person. Those of you who don't know me from the past, I haven't always been the nicest person, and I may still not always be the nicest person, but God is transforming my life little by little, making me a little more like Jesus every day. As we began, we got to the end of that semester, and we talked about it. We said, you know what? This is too good to stop. We're here at Andrews, and honestly, we began to realize that we could get a lot of information while we're there, study a lot about the Bible, get a lot of different historical facts, learn a lot about the Greek and a lot about the Hebrew, but what is going to matter more when we leave this place than that we have a deeper connection with Jesus Christ? What could possibly matter more than that we have learned how to walk more closely with him week by week? What could mean more in our ministry in the future than that we could say we've learned a little more about Jesus personally? And so we decided that seminary was going to be a different experience for us. We said, we're going to keep this up week after week, just meeting together and challenging each other, saying, hey, how did it go this last week with Jesus? And how can it be better this coming week? In what ways are you going to practically seek Jesus a little more in this coming week? What are some of the things that you could do in this coming week where you could come to know Jesus a little bit better? In some weeks, it would be something like, well, you know, I've been struggling waking up early in the morning, so you know what the biggest key is to waking up early in the morning? Going to bed early. You got it right. So we would say, okay, if we want to wake up early in the morning so that we have time with Jesus to start off our day so that we can read our Bible, we can talk to Jesus, we can write in our prayer journals, then we need to go to bed earlier. And so we say, okay, over this coming week, hold me accountable. I'm going to go to bed at such and such a time all week long. And the next week it would come around and we'd be like, well, I made it 6 out of 7 times or 5 out of 7 times. It's getting a little better. And I was waking up earlier. I was having more quality time with Jesus. I was really experiencing God a little more this past week. It was a powerful experience. And then we met a few other friends there at the seminary. One of them's name was Nestor. And Nestor began to tell me about how he'd been studying about the life of John Wesley. John Wesley, famous for the work that he did in the 1800s in the Christian church. Well, he told me about how John Wesley started these small groups. At the time, they were called holiness groups. But these small groups where people would get together, and they would basically do something similar to like we were doing. They would challenge each other. They would hold each other accountable to saying, hey, how is your walk with Jesus going? What difference is it making? And then they would spend time in prayer together. And so with Nestor, with Reed, with Godfrey, a few of these friends, we began to just meet once a week and pray together. We began to talk to each other about how is it going with Jesus. Have you ever noticed that although we come to church knowing that this is a spiritual place, knowing that we came here to seek Jesus, to focus on God, how much of our conversation usually actually revolves around God? How much of the time are we actually talking about spiritual things? Sometimes these things are personal. They're things that we're not ready to just immediately divulge with every person we come into contact with. So sometimes it takes a smaller group. It takes a smaller dynamic in order for these things to come out and in order for us to be able to share in such a way that it makes us be able to realize where we're actually at. That was a realization that I came through as we're going on this journey and beginning to see God work in my life in new ways. I realized that I needed to be intentional about actually thinking about my walk with Jesus. If I wasn't actually thinking about my walk with Jesus, then I was tending to think everything was okay, that everything was going good, when in fact I was on the decline rather than getting closer to God. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, that's going to be page 640. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Starting in verse 9. Last week we looked especially at verse 12, but this time we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. A lot of times, as Americans, we get used to living our Christian life, to walking this Christian journey, to following Jesus, our devotional life, all these things. We're so used to doing it all on our own. But the Bible reveals to us that when there is more than one of us, when we're working together, when one of us begins to fall, the other one can reach down and pick us back up, can encourage us, can lift us up, can push us on to keep seeking Jesus with all of our hearts. That's what this is all about, isn't it? That's why we're here. That's why we come to church, because we believe that there is a living God, that Jesus is alive, that he is our Savior, and that he's coming back to get us again, and that he wants a personal, living, daily relationship with us. So what more important thing could we possibly do than to pursue that relationship with all of our hearts on a daily basis? Well, we got to the end of the seminary experience, which it was about 2 years that we were back there, and got to the end, and I thought, man, this is too bad that this is coming to an end. This has been such an incredible blessing, but now I'm going back to California. Godfrey will also be going back to California, but we'll probably end up on opposite sides of the state. And then we got our letters calling us both back to Modesto. And so when we came back to Modesto, we said, hey, let's keep this up. It's too good of a thing to end now, right? Let's just continue meeting together, continue praying together, continuing to encourage each other in seeking Jesus. And so week by week, we've continued to meet together. We've continued to pray together. And I've realized that I really need that. There was a time period where we both got really busy and we went a few weeks without it. And when we met back together again, I said, you know, I've noticed that over the past few weeks, I haven't been as intentional about seeking Jesus with all my heart. Because I haven't taken that time to really being praying about my relationship with Jesus, to really being reflecting on my relationship with Jesus. It makes such a difference when you have somebody there to encourage you, to push you, to spur you on to seek Jesus with all of your heart. Those other friends that I mentioned, in fact, just recently, it was about a month and a half ago, that we all heard about. Well, we've known about it for a while, but there's this guy in Africa who began an experience of really praying for his church. He would wake up really early in the morning and spend some really quality time praying for his church, and he saw his church explode. In fact, it exploded. There was about 20,000 members that were added to his church in just about 2 or 3 years in a district that had been not growing for years and years and years. We heard this story, and we were so inspired by it. One day, I remember we were out here, actually, in the parking lot, and Godfrey said, you know what? Why not? Why don't we start challenging each other to a similar experience like that? He said, I really want that kind of experience. I said, me too. Let's do it. And so we began another experience where now we have, how many of you have iPhones? Well, we had iMessage. And so there were three of us who were on there, and morning by morning we wake up, and the first thing when we woke up, we text each other, like, okay, we're good morning, let's, we text each other a prayer, a Bible verse, maybe a quote, or something to inspire each other to stay awake. We'd text each other, hey, man, I'm starting to fall asleep, can you pray for me right now? I'm getting tired, and I'm losing focus. And we were just there to encourage each other, to continue pushing each other in seeking Jesus. And that has continued to grow. There's been more and more people added to our group. And I just want to tell you that when you seek Jesus together, when you have somebody there to encourage you, you've probably experienced this, but it makes an incredible difference. It inspires you. It motivates you to press on with all of your heart. Some of the things that I've seen it's made a difference for me in is how much time I actually take in spending time with God. I've realized just how important it is to be there with Jesus, to talk to Jesus, to read stories about Jesus, to focus on Jesus. And I've realized that as I intentionally take steps and I ask somebody to help me in this journey, to be praying for me, that it opens up doors for me to take more time, to spend more time seeking Jesus. It's been an incredible experience for me. It's been life-changing. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you're following along in your pew Bible, that's going to be on page 1154. We find here that Paul actually exhorts us to something exactly like what we've been talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, have you ever wondered why in the Bible it so often refers to them as the brothers or the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ? What is it that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ? What is it? Well, Paul goes on to say, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the what? By the blood of Jesus. Friends, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that unites us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us brothers and sisters. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that has given us right to be adopted as sons and daughters of God. Because Jesus died on that cross, you and I have a right to live eternally with our Father in heaven. And because of that blood, when you look at that person sitting next to you on the pew, sitting across the church from you, they're not just another person, but they're a brother, they're a sister, they're a blood brother to you, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They have infinite value. He goes on to say in verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. That's what the Christian faith is all about. Let us draw near. If you're here for any other reason than to draw near to Jesus, if you're here for any other reason than to draw near to God, then you're missing what God wants for you. God's goal for you is to draw into a very, very close relationship with him. He wants to have an intimate communion with you. He wants you to know him. What does it say in John 17, verse 3? This is eternal life, that you may know me, that you may know my Father. That's what eternal life is all about, knowing God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It says, let us draw near because of the blood of Christ. This morning, we're celebrating in a special way on the 13th Sabbath. We celebrate the blood of Christ. We remember what Jesus has done for us. As we take part in the communion service, we remember that it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we have any right to life. The communion service is one of the most special times of the entire year. It's one of the greatest services because it's during this time that we get to focus on Jesus like never before. So when we get to experience that tangible reminder that Jesus is our Savior, that he has given us life through his blood. It's an incredible thing. Not only that, but we get to experience washing. What did it talk about here? In verse 22, it said, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's during the communion service that we get to participate in the ordinance of humility, the washing of each other's feet. Now, that's really like a mini baptism. I don't know if you've realized that before, but having our feet washed, you know, we don't get baptized every time we've gone and we've made mistakes, we have made more sins, we've drawn away from God. We don't necessarily go and get baptized again. But this is a reminder that his grace is sufficient, that baptism is still efficacious in our lives, that he has still washed us from our sins. And as we go and we have our feet washed, it's a reminder of that cleansing that Jesus has done in our heart. And it's also an opportunity for us to draw close to those around us. It's an opportunity for us to become closer friends, to draw nearer than ever before in Christian fellowship. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful, isn't he? Amen. Verse 24, this is key. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The Bible says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now there in the Greek, when it says to stir up, the word is a very strong word. It's actually only used twice in the Bible. It's also used in Acts 18 where it's talking about Paul and Barnabas. You remember how they suddenly had this sharp division that drove them apart? It's the same word that's used there. It's a prodding word. Really, the King James uses a good word for it. It says, provoke yourselves to love and good works. Provoke one another to love and good works. It's like, do whatever it takes. Push each other. Prod each other. Push each other in this journey because we're brothers and sisters. You think about it. If you see your brother lying there dying, what are you going to do? You're going to do whatever it takes to save them because they're your brother. They're your sister. They're close relation to you. Friends, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the obligation to look out for each other like brothers and sisters. We have the obligation to stir one another up to love and good works, to do whatever it takes to prod each other to seek Jesus. But here's the thing. If I walk up to you and I say, how's it been with Jesus this last week? Did you spend time reading your Bible this last week? You might be a little taken back, like, whoa, that's none of your business. What are you talking about? Right? That might be a little invading our personal space. So here's what you can do. Take the first step. If you want to have this experience of being stirred up to love and good works, ask someone else to ask you that question. Find someone who can be a spiritual friend or an accountability partner for you and say, hey, would you on a weekly basis, maybe on Monday, maybe on Tuesday, would you ask me how it's been going in this area? And you can give something specific. In fact, when I was moving out here to come to Modesto Central, Pastor Brian actually texted me, and we were texting back and forth about coming out here, and he said, hey, I'd like if you would be my accountability partner in this area. He said, I would like specifically to be praying about this thing every single week. He said, on Mondays, would you just contact me and say, hey, how's it been going praying about this? So week by week, I'd text him that, and I asked Brian, I said, Pastor Brian, could you text me and ask me if I've been spending this certain time with Jesus, can you ask me about that? And so he would do that. And again, it was something that was just stirring us up, pushing us on to know Jesus. The Christian walk isn't something you go all out on your own. It's something where we stir each other up to love and good works. As it continues on to say in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon. The signs are fulfilling all around us. And the time is coming when we need to be stirring each other up, prodding each other on in this seeking after Jesus with all of our hearts more than ever before. There's no time like now to be doing this. And not only is there the positive side of this, but also this can protect us from harm. Look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. We have this compelling mission to seek Jesus, to experience the new and living way into the holiest. And we also have this compelling drive to avoid what is coming upon this earth. Friends, there's another thing about an accountability partner, a spiritual friend, that can be extremely helpful. If you've ever struggled with an addiction, you know that it's very difficult to get out of that on your own. I had a friend who, like many young men, he struggled with pornography when he was in high school. And he was struggling with pornography. He was actually going to church, and he wanted to be seeking God, but he just had this addiction that he didn't know how to get past. And finally, he realized something, that he wasn't going to be able to get past it on his own. And so he began to ask specific individuals, hey, would you hold me accountable? Call me once a month or call me once a week and ask me if I've been faithful. And he even installed some software that would let the person know, would send them emails based upon his viewing habits. Do you think it makes a difference in what you view when you know that somebody's going to be asking you the next week what you've been up to? It's the same thing as with our spiritual walk. If somebody's going to ask you, you know, how's your relationship with Jesus going? The next week, you're going to be more likely to be seeking Jesus because you know that question is coming. Friends, I long for us here at Modesto Central to become more and more of the body of Christ, to be looking out for each other. We're one. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are bought by the blood of Jesus. Let's stir one another up to love and good works. As we get a chance to participate in the foot washing this morning, those of you who are new here at Modesto Central, or maybe haven't participated in this before, you're welcome to join us. We practice open communion here. You're very welcome to join in to be a part of this. What we do is we pick a partner and we go up to one of the rooms, and I'm going to tell you in a minute where those rooms are, and we follow Jesus' example. He says, just as I have washed your feet, so do likewise. This is an incredible opportunity. Like I said, it's like a mini baptism, just a recommitment of your life to Jesus, and it's also an opportunity to serve somebody with you. But I also want to challenge you today, if you want to start a spiritual friendship with somebody, then I challenge you to pick that person to go and wash their feet this morning. And to ask them, hey, could we meet just once a week? Or could we pray together over the phone about our spiritual walk or about this thing in my life? Could you ask me this question once a week? How's it going with your devotional life? Or how has it been with you and Jesus? Or how's it going with this thing that you've been struggling with? Friends, if you want a deeper relationship with Jesus, two are better than one. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to look out for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you would help us to stir each other up to love and good works. There's nothing more important than knowing you. Jesus, I pray that you would guide us into friendships that can make a difference for us for eternity, into friendships that can transform our lives. God, I wouldn't take back the experience I've had for the past couple years for anything. God, you continue to reconvert our hearts on a daily basis and to drive us deeper. And I thank you, Jesus, that there is always more for us to experience. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we take part in the foot washing, that we would experience anew the grace of Jesus Christ washing us from our sins, and that we would experience anew the willingness to serve like Jesus served. Lord, transform our hearts as we participate in this. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. As you go to take part in the foot washing, let me give you a few instructions. The youth room is where the families generally meet. And that's, if you go up the stairs over here, the youth room is on that side.